First up, Spatio News. Writing in the October 14 edition of the Australian Financial Review, Matthew Cranston said that former Prime Minister Scott Morrison has been appointed chairman of Space Centre Australia. The company plans to open a spaceport 43 kilometres from the township of Weipa on Queensland's Cape York Peninsula. Morrison told the AFR, and I quote, "By leveraging Australia's proximity to Asia-Pacific markets and our robust aerospace ecosystem, SpaceX could achieve new milestones in launch frequency, efficiency, and environmental stewardship." And then Morrison went on to say, and again I quote, "Space Centre Australia offers a unique opportunity for SpaceX to diversify its launch sites, allowing them to meet global demands while benefiting from Australia's advanced technological infrastructure and regulatory stability." End of quote. Now, Space Centre Australia claims it will be Australia's first large-scale, multi-use spaceport. James Palmer, the chief executive of Space Centre Australia, said he had been involved in conversations with SpaceX, but not with Elon Musk. And here's a compilation of promotional comments made by James Palmer.
Think of Space Centre Australia like as if it's a large international airport, but for launch vehicles. And it is part of a greater program of work that we're undertaking up near a town called Weipa in far north Queensland, which is essentially a large technology park for the space industry and for high-end technology. It's a very important aspect to Australia because it's so wide and varied. It's a door opener or an enabler for a lot of different development activities to occur, not just in the space industry sector. For example, medical research, mining, minerals and materials, technology development. There's so many other aspects that, you know, that the space industry and that space exploration can help enhance. And that is really exciting because Space Centre Australia can provide that. Can provide that as a capability, and not just as a in a business commercial customer relationship, but for the greater good and for community and for people and for benefit across the board. The biggest ones that I hear are to do with what comes off the back of the rocket. So a lot of those are myths. For example, a lot of the smoke that comes off the back of the rocket is not actually smoke, and it's not actually harmful to the environment. Also, gravity. What comes up comes back down. Inevitably, things do come back to Earth. So we need to make sure that downrange from where you launch is clear. And there's usually quite a lot of misconceptions in that. And it's about educating, and it's about making sure that people understand, especially for Space Centre Australia, that where we're launching from in those downrange areas, that they are safe and that there's minimal impact to people and to the environment. It's a very versatile facility. So the idea is that we will be able to launch small rockets right through to very large 250,000 kilo style plus rockets. Smaller rockets can be used for CubeSats and low Earth orbit style operations. And that's for things like research and development, sounding, those sorts of activities. When we look at medium-sized rockets through to large, that's when we're talking about the really big systems. And that's when we're talking about a payload that is even higher than a ton. And that's very large rockets. We're talking more than 250,000 kilos, more than 50,000 kilonewtons of thrust, and they're very, very capable of taking very large and heavy payloads into right up into higher orbit. Space Centre Australia, as I've said, is a very long project, and we've deliberately factored in time and effort and budget to allow us to do environmental impact studies, to do a full EIS, and to keep that open and to keep that going. We understand and fully recognise that a technology park such as Space Centre Australia, launch facilities, all those handling facilities, fuel, defuelling, everything there has an impact. And we want to make sure that our impact is minimised as much as possible. That's on the site, but also as part of that EIS, we're working in all of our launch trajectory upstream and downstream areas, so that that way we know where everything is, and we are putting in all of the required equipment, sensory systems, analysis, desktop analysis, in-depth analysis, to ensure that our operations are as safe as possible for people, firstly, and then secondly for the environment.
The comments of James Palmer, the Chief Executive Officer of Space Centre Australia. Now, Scott Morrison said governments of the Five Eyes spy network were already showing interest in Space Centre Australia's capabilities. As quoted in the Australian Financial Review, he said, "Establishment of the heavy launch permanent spaceport facilities at Cape York will not only create a unique commercial offering, but necessary strategic capabilities for Quad, Five Eyes and AUKUS partners for guaranteed access to space." And then Morrison went on and added, "There are limited alternative options currently available in secure locations amongst security partners. This means the Cape York Space Centre Australia spaceport will become essential strategic security infrastructure." Now, if you've heard about Cape York in association with a spaceport, that's because you were paying attention way back in the 1980s and early 90s when there were plans for a spaceport at Weipa and also on the other side of Cape York, but nothing came of that. You're listening to the news here on the Space Show. The Equatorial Launch Australia Company has signed an agreement with French company Sirius Space Services that will allow the launch of rockets from Arnhem Land beginning in 2026. That first rocket will be the Sirius 1. It will be followed in 2027 by larger Sirius 13 rocket, which will be able to place an 800 kilogram satellite into orbit. Sirius, and by the way, that's S-I-R-I-U-S, not Sirius. Sirius uses metal additive manufacturing techniques to make its rocket engines using copper and nickel chromium superalloys. The engine of Sirius 1, called Star 1, is fueled by methane and oxidized by liquid oxygen to produce a thrust of 55 kilonewtons. The agreement foresees the potential for up to 18 launches per year. In other Australian news, two Australian companies have signed a memorandum of understanding that will see electric propulsion systems flown aboard new Australian-built satellites. Newman Space builds the thrusters and Innovar will make the satellites. A Newman drive is being tested during the two-year mission of Melbourne University's Spirit satellite, which was launched in December last year. Innovar Technologies are planning satellites called Apogee and Australis. Undeterred by the failure of its first satellite, Optimus One, the Space Machines Company of Sydney is pressing ahead with a second satellite to be launched in 2026. The aim of the Optimus II satellite is to repair satellites in orbit or remove defunct ones from orbit. Several agreements have been signed between Space Machines and Indian companies. The first agreement is with the New Space to use that company's small satellite launch vehicle to launch Optimus II in 2026. The rocket stands 34 meters tall and is capable of placing a 500 kilogram satellite into low Earth orbit. A second agreement will see Anath Technologies transport Optimus II to the launch site once it has been arrived in India from Australia. The third agreement is for Digantara to provide a short-range electro-optical payload onto Optimus II. This will track the failed satellites that Optimus will rendezvous with. And finally, in the space news, the Australian Department of Defence formed a Space Command several years ago, and in 2023 it moved into an office in Adelaide's Lot 14, right next door to the Australian Space Agency. The One Space Surveillance Unit Commercial Data Mission, yes, that's the name, One Space Surveillance Unit Commercial Data Mission, is staffed by three representatives, one each for the Army, Air Force and Navy, and is a collaboration with the Space Agency. This feature about Space Command.
Matt Opie, Chief Executive of the South Australian Space Industry Centre, reinforced the value of the command's residency in South Australia. He said, "As well as being a domain in its own right, space is a key enabler for defense operations. The Australian Defense Force's Space Command is a key contributor in unlocking this potential. The unit is well positioned to leverage data from commercial providers to deliver timely space domain awareness for the integrated force. This growth at Lot 14 showcases how co-location can improve collaboration between defense and the commercial space industry and is testament to South Australia's strength as the defense and space state."
The unit's operations are focused on using data from commercial space sensors to enhance the Australian Defense Force's space domain awareness capabilities. The unit manages Space Command's operational commercial data requirements as well as contributing to the United States-led Joint Commercial Operations Cell. Joint Commercial Operations combines global commercial space domain awareness capabilities with military oversight. It offers real-time detection and characterization of space events, with the Australian unit utilizing commercial, unclassified data to inform national and military agencies. Major Thomas Bittner, officer in charge at the unit, said, "Expanding our presence at Lot 14 cements the enormous opportunity we have to address defense and national security challenges." The unit joins a growing and dynamic community of world-leading organizations in the global and local technology, space, defense, and research industries to establish a presence at Lot 14.
Southern FM.